O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. May be seated. The Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them. And flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is from John 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover." Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to thee, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just going to say it. I already broached it with Friday's notes. The big subject, as you could hear from the readings about our texts, is death. It's Lent 5. Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's just outside of Jerusalem. Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry is next Sunday. So it makes sense. He's not predicting it anymore. It's happening. Most years, we first world moderns have enough distance from death that the subject is a bit academic. We can ponder it, but feeling it in our guts is a different thing. Probably the strangest thing about modern existence. Death as a distant mental concept, not as an abiding reality of life. But this virus has shaken our mental constructs and made it real. Even if the overall death numbers locally are only 4 in Monroe County, the fear of death permeates everything. The headlines blare about running out of ventilators, even though there are still some in storage. We will run out of ICU beds, even as the Army constructs almost overnight convention centers into plague wards. Worries over triage orders. Worries over being barred from leaving the city. While those in the country experience worries that they're 45 minutes away from the nearest hospital, and even that one would send them on to the city if there was something vastly different. The fear is bleeding through ink and pixels. And it's so thick, you could almost strangle you itself. And none of that even touches that hypochondria that we are all working under. Every slight change in our mood and perspiration is the oncoming sign of our demise. Jesus' response to Lazarus, I think, holds for us 3 realities that all Christians should remember in just such a time. The first thing is that we do not really fear death. You can imagine the flip side of fearing death to be creating an idol of health. If the thing we fear the most is death, the thing we love the most is health, then that odd duality is actually our God. Mary and Martha send word to Jesus that Lazarus is ill. But Jesus' reaction is not to medevac out immediately. He responds that this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it. This response recalls the story of the man born blind last week. The death of Lazarus is going to be allowed to happen. Lazarus will be in the tomb for 4 days by the time Jesus gets there. This is for the glory of God. Everything, even death and health, are subject to the will of God. And if they are not, we've created an idol. But lest we think that that is an uncaring statement, his disciples were perfectly fine with Jesus staying put. When 2 days later, Jesus says, "Let's go to Judea again," the disciples quickly remind him, "They were just trying to stone you there, and you want to go back?" But our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. If he's asleep, he'll wake up. Fearfully, intentionally missing the point. He's dead. Let us go to him. Jesus follows up, and Thomas, full of resignation and flippantly, responds, "Sure. Let's go. We can all die with him." They would not all die. Lazarus would be raised. The fearful disciples within 2 weeks would all scatter. The only one who knew he would die by this course of action was Jesus. This was the last walk to the cross. But some things are more important. He had set his face to go to Jerusalem so that we might believe, so that we might rise. This does not mean to be stupid. It does mean to be intentional. There are callings, vocations, times that demand that we head to Jerusalem. We know that death or illness or other bad things likely lay ahead of us, but we walk on in the way that the Father has intended. We walk on for the glory of God, because death does not have the final word. The second reality that Christians should understand is that while we might not fear death, we don't deny its reality and its impact. When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And looking at the tomb, Jesus wept. I think that just by the many words our English translation throws at that, you can get the sense of how strange the scene is. I like the New Living Translation, which sticks closer to the actual word there. A deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. You know that feeling, that screaming into the void and it doesn't seem to respond. This isn't right. This shouldn't happen. This is deeply wrong. A cosmic injustice has been done. And the fact that everyone dies doesn't lessen it. eternity has been put into our hearts, says the teacher of Ecclesiastes. And yet the span of our lives are 70 years, 80 if we have the strength. And that only accounts for those with a full life, not the really hard cases that cause us to scream. Jesus felt that too. There's nothing human that has not been felt by God in Christ. Death is real. It's not final, but it is real. And Jesus' reaction was to weep. As the introit from the psalm says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Not even the sparrow falls without the Lord's knowing. The creator of the universe knows and feels and marks it all down, it says, in the palm of his hand. Far from being insignificant, which is exactly what we can feel when we're in that grip of fear. But far from being that small, this is when God draws near. When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all our hope instead. Jesus knows how real death is, and he's done something about it. He doesn't remove the fact of death. In fact, God shared it with us on that cross. But what Jesus has done is triumphed over it. Martha is the first to complain to Jesus, "If you had only been here." But she also boldly proclaims the faith, "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And to that confession, Jesus tells Martha plainly, "Your brother will rise." I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? And this is the question of the faith. Is God good to his promises? Lazarus is going to be called out of that 4-day tomb, but he's going to die again. One last great miracle that you might believe, but this is not the miracle. This is not the sign and wonder. That's going to happen in a couple weeks. Here, it takes some men to roll away the stone. Here they have to unwrap poor Lazarus and let him go. But in 2 weeks, the stone rolls away. In 2 weeks, the claws are laid aside by themselves. Depending what you think of the Shroud of Turin, there they are to this day. Just around the corner, death is defeated by the hand of God. Our brother Jesus has risen, and he is the resurrection. And he's given that victory to us. Death is real, but we don't need to fear it. Death will still remind us of all the wrong in a fallen world. But Jesus has defeated even death. And in faith, his victory is yours. Do you believe this? Amen. We'll pick up with the Kyrie and continue on with the prayer service. O Lord. O Christ. O Lord. Join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will confess our common faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. In the day of my troubles, I call upon you, for you answer me. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. Save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. We join together in the prayer collect of the day. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray for all of those who are in the medical community who are taking care of these things, who are taking care of us in the midst of this. We pray that you would grant them skill and ability and protect them also from this virus. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all of those in positions of leadership, that they would be wise in their decisions, and that you would allow them to have a clear message for us, that we may be good followers in this day. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for a neighbor of the Bears who passed away. We pray for peace for that family. We also pray for all of those folks who might be sick at this time. We pray that your peace would be with them and also your loving care. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray for all of those who are on our hearts and minds. As our hearts might be greatly troubled, and as we might be angered at many things, we know your reaction, Lord. We pray that you would guide our reactions to the glory of your Father, and that we might be your body of Christ in this world to your glory. Lord, in your mercy, we'll close our prayers with the morning collect. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. And now the Lord bless us and defend us from all evil and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Thank you.